What's going on, guys? It's Madman Plant. We are here at the Smoke Busters Podcast. Another episode here at the American Auto Cup. It is awesome to be here. I got Sean with me, who's a grower and a smoker. How's it going, my dude?
It's good. I grow and smoke. That's true.
That is true. So tell me a little bit about growing and smoking. Are you a photo period, an auto guy? What do you do?
Photo period.
Okay, perfect. Any particular strains that you stick to as far as breeders, or are you kind of like all over the place being adventurous?
Yeah, this is my Master Kush. I've been growing Master Kush since the beginning.
Oh, let's see that.
It's my favorite strain.
Okay, very cool. And tell me a little bit about this. What makes it your favorite? A little bit about profile and everything like that.
The Marine Corps went into Afghanistan the first time. These are some of the plants that they had to burn down. And a couple officers saved a few of the seeds, brought it back to the United States. That's how Master Kush got started in California.
That's pretty cool.
So I got the original seeds from a Marine. I cloned them for about 8 years. So I had a really cold winter, and the cloning process got messed up. So I had to go to a breeder to get Master Kush cloned again.
Did you have to do like a monster crop, like a reversal, or what did you have to do?
I don't know what either one of those are.
So monster crop is where, like, when you clone out a plant, mm-hmm. instead of cloning it out in the veg stage, you clone it out in the flower stage. So it still has bud on it. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a lot longer to do, but you can get it to regrow roots. And what it'll do is it reverses the stage from flowering to veg, and it'll start growing veg parts again. So your fan leaves and everything like that. So a lot of times people will do that like in a last ditch effort, like if they didn't save that strain, but let's say it's coming out really, really good. That's something that you could do to preserve a genetic. Or what you could do is do like an STS spray and essentially get the female part to also produce male parts, and it'll self-herm itself and you can get seeds. And then there's another way of lineage as far as breeding goes to go ahead and vet out the different like F1s, F2s, all the way up. So you can not only verify your genetic, but you can stabilize it over time through those back crosses. So that's a good way to like archive a strain.
I had no idea about anything what you just said, what it means. I'm just like a home grower. And how do you access that kind of information?
Well, you can go to my website, which we talk about this. We have 418 videos on YouTube about growing. We do this on the YouTube series. So what our podcast is about is for home growers, teaching them this information, giving them the tools and resources. And like some of our sponsors like AC Infinity, who produce like products for home growers, it makes it a lot easier. Oh, I do. So the biggest thing too, you know, is getting educated and knowing that one, growing the plant is half the battle. But when you go into like genetics and breeding, you can go down a wild range of what you want to do, what kind of crosses you want, what kind of flavors, what kind of profiles. So with you, when you grow, do you pull like 50-50? When do you pull as far as your harvest?
I use a jeweler's loop.
Yep.
And I pull as late as I can. So I try to see like 20-30% amber in that loop. And I don't mind waiting an extra week or so. It's not bothering this newt, so it's easy to keep things watered. And if I'm just growing for myself, I just want to grow the highest quality possible. I know, like, you know, I'd help other people, commercial growers, they would harvest as soon as the plant looked like it was ready for harvest.
Yeah.
They didn't care at all about how much amber was in it or how ready it was, just how much volume it had, right? So that's one benefit of, you know, growing for yourself.
Yep.
Is you're going to get exactly the profile you want. I know a lot of people don't want to have the heavy amber, or they want to do like a live resin type thing. You know, so you have your options there, right? But personally, I like to wait like 96, even 100 days on the Master Kush.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times you'll see on the seed packs that it's like, we'll harvest in 67 days. And all those are just breeder recommendations. That's what the breeder experience. You know, a lot of these times, like even with autoflowers, you know, I don't know if you've ever dabbled in autoflowers, but I've gone 115, 125 days on an autoflower. And most of them, you know, say, we'll harvest at 65 days, you know, start to finish. And
you got to 120 then?
Well, I have. It really, I'm like you. I'm looking for the profile. I'm looking for, you know, the ambers and trichomes. I do like to do like a 50-50 because I like more of like your narcotic high, like your couch lock, like your real like buzzed, you know. I do like the clean high. I know some people who will pull right at before as they see a hint of amber, it's being pulled. Now a lot of times too, your pulling is also depending on like your harvest and what the harvest is for. So for instance, like if you're harvesting for like wash, you're not going to want a whole bunch of amber for like bubble hash,
right?
You know, as you would for like, you know, just smoking, you know, same thing with pressing. So, you know, really, you know, it really, it's a, that's why I always tell people there's a thousand ways to do this. No right or wrong. You know, it's just what works for you and what you like.
Right.
So with that, what's the most you've ever gotten off a plant?
I don't know. I grow 6 plants because that's what's legal.
Yep.
And the most I've gotten is about 2.8, 3 pounds.
That's amazing. That's really good.
Yeah.
Any particular nutrient line?
But that's me using as large of pots as I can and dedicating the whole room to it. And because I have LED lights, I don't have to have large fans. You know, I just have one portable air conditioner cooling the whole room.
Yeah.
Which is nice and easy. I don't have to worry about that fan, you know, dying out while I'm gone because it's not that hot in that room.
Yeah. Now, are you venting in from outside or you just have like a Mr. Cool?
Oh, actually, I have the, when I have a portable air conditioner, I do have a vent that goes out, yeah, to another.
You need to get one of these. Look,
what's that?
That's an intake fan, so yeah. That'll take all that hot air and shoot it outwards. And you can do it the opposite. So, like, if you grow in a tent, mm-hmm. and like your room is cooler than the tent, because a lot of times, even though you grow with LED lights, mm-hmm. the problem with LEDs is they still get hot. Yeah. And so do the drivers on the back. So what I do, for instance, is I have the intake fan on the bottom and I have the room, which is like this, room temperature, and that's sucking in the cold air. And what's good about that is it's helping your exchange rate, you know, how much air and volume is going in and out of a tent. Mm-hmm. And another thing too is with 6 plants, you know, even if like, let's say you had a 2x4, mm-hmm. you could do 6 plants in 1 gallon and still get the same weight.
How's that?
Okay, so big plants don't revolve around big pots and like lots of soil. I used to think the same concept, but when we do like our perpetual grow, so we're harvesting like every 9 weeks, so it's back to back. So we have 2 tents. We have the veg tent and the flower tent, right? Mm-hmm. In those things, we only use 1 gallon pots. And off of 1 gallon, I mean, I can show you on my Instagram and YouTube like how dense those nugs are. And it's more about the feeding schedule, how you interact with the plant, the plant's environment, more so than the pot size. And it'll save you half the time. So you not only could you grow more weed, but you could grow it way faster than having to veg out for like 3 to 4 months probably, mm-hmm. to fill it out enough to then go to harvest. You know, with a perpetual grow system and like AC Infinity, they have like, if you got like a tent setup, you could save your space, open that entire room up to something else and still get the same weight. Because if you watch like Mr. Canucks, there's an episode where he shows you where they grow in a closet and then they also grow in bigger pots and the same, it's about the same weight.
Yeah. I did used to have a tent in my basement.
Yeah.
That I would do my veg in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd flip over the flower into the main room. And I'd get a lot, I guess you'd call it perpetual grow. And then I'd put the clones in with the veg too, because they need the same light cycle in that tent. I had a blower just like that. It worked great. I didn't need any air conditioning there. I did have a humidifier in there, because that just puts cooler water in there, and that worked really well, because it was in the basement.
Yeah.
You know, you just have one light for those small pots. And then, I wasn't using 15 gallons back then. But the issue as a home grower I had with that is having 2 different areas you're growing at the same time. So you're using 2 different newts, and I'd have to go down to the basement with my RO water, and I'd carry it because I had the RO filter upstairs.
Yep.
So I'm carrying 2 buckets of water down the steps, and I live where there's a lot of snow, so there'd be ice on the deck, and I'm there with heavy buckets, and I'd go down, I'd fill the veg. So it was double the feeding, which was fine, because I was getting double the production. But, you know, since I'm not really selling so much to neighbors and stuff, it's just the prices have dropped, so people aren't really buying as much, for me at least.
Yeah.
So I just really grow for myself now, and having one simple room is fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I can grow in the whole room over, you know, 5-6 months and not have to grow over the summer.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives me a break to go travel and whatnot and be away from the house, you know.
No, and that's the thing, is you're going to get the quality, you're going to get the love, and when you see what you can do for yourself,
yeah,
you're going to, like, pity. Like, and I hate to say it to dispensaries, but I haven't found a dispensary yet, mm-hmm, that has the same quality that I've been able to produce out of my own, like, house. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's a problem for the world.
I don't know what the quality is in the dispensary, because you don't know what the chemicals are.
Exactly. You don't know what's in it. And they don't, like, home growers like us, we have a true love and passion for the plant, where for them, it's all about money. So what we invest in, the better, you know, soils, the better lights, the better equipment, you know, the better environment that we're setting, that's what's going to get us better weed, not, you know, just relying on just pumping them full of nutrients.
It's also the connection that you have to the weed. Like, I'm really proud of my master Kush.
Well, yeah, and it's history, you know, being brought here from overseas and, you know, being like the last little bit left. I mean, that in itself is just amazing.
And when I come to an event like this, I like to just share my weed that I grew at home. You know, I'm proud of it, you know, or I go anywhere, I don't want to share my weed.
Oh, yeah. Well, to wrap this up, how can we follow you? How can we support you? And Lacey, can I get a... What size shirt do you wear?
I'm medium.
We got a swag bag for you.
You can find me on Instagram at Sean Patrick Barry, SeanPatrickBarry.
Dude, well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, thanks, sharing your story, being a grower, being in the community, you know. Definitely share that with us and let us know how this continues, and I look forward to exciting things.
Cheers.
Dude, all perfect. Right, take care. We'll see you guys soon at American Auto Flower Cup with more podcasts and more content coming your way.